It's amazing how the Lord works. You know, we never talk amongst ourselves, hey, what are you going to sing today or anything like that. And, this week, I was praying and asking the Lord, well, Lord, what do your people need? What do you want me to preach on this week? And he led me to the book of Hebrews, and I like the book of Hebrews. I hope you do too. There's some good stuff in the book of Hebrews. And he led me, believe it or not, to the 9th chapter. So turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. And I want to speak to you on the subject of thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says this in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, that the life is in the blood. It is the blood that atones for men's sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And that word remission means no forgiveness for sins. So when you get there, if you would, stand with me. And we'll begin with verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And real quick, that's what was in the Ark of the Covenant, y'all. That's what it held. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, for which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and cardinal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with the hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Thank you for letting me stand before your people today to open your word and to share it with them this morning. Lord, I just pray you'll give me the words to say. Bring back to my memory those things I've studied, and let me say those things you've laid upon my heart. Let me say them with boldness and authority, and may every ear be opened, eye opened, heart opened to receive what you have for us this morning. May your flock be fed. And Lord, we pray that there's one that needs to make a move. May your Holy Spirit lead them to do that thing and do business with you, Lord, and obey your voice, especially if they know not Christ, his free pardon from sin. So, Lord, bless the word this morning. Thank you for those that have gathered in this place of worship. We pray that everything that we say and do brings glory and honor to you. You've heard the prayer requests. Just pray that your will be done with each one. And again, we want to thank you for this opportunity. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Please be seated. So, pretty much the first 11 verses deals with the sacrificial system, the Old Testament. And I want you to understand that this book here is different than any other book that's ever been written or authored. I want you to understand this is God's Word, and this is a bloody book. I have a bloody faith. How about you? Now, there's a lot of folks that don't like preaching about the blood. They don't want to hear about the blood. But what does the Bible say? Paul said that the preaching of the cross, and by the way, you can't have a cross without blood being shed. Preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. So, beloved, I'm not ashamed of the blood. I'm happy to stand before you and tell you it's the blood. Just as Moses said in Leviticus, for the life is in the blood. And it's the blood that makes atonement for our soul. Now, there's a difference in Christ's blood and the blood of bulls and goats. Amen? Big difference. You see, you understand the character of the blood of those animals is different than the character in the blood of Christ. You see, all the blood of animals did, and let me just say this before I even go any further. All of those millions of gallons of blood that were offered at the tabernacle and at the temple never had the ability to save one soul. Not one. Because after all that their blood did, speaking of the animals, was just cover them. But Jesus, when he came and became the sacrifice, and the reason the character of Christ's blood is different from the animals was Jesus was a perfect sacrifice for the sins. You see, it was because of man's sin. The Bible tells us, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world and then death by sin, and it's referring to Adam. Because the sin nature came from man, only an innocent man could atone for the salvation of mankind. And that was Christ, because he was perfect, he was pure, he was sinless. And only he could fit the bill. Only he could. And again, animals could only cover. But see, when Christ shed his blood on Calvary, his blood not only covered, but it removed sin completely away. Now, you taught seminary. Cemetery is what you called it the other night. We had to take soteriology, doctrine of salvation. And boy, there's a lot to it. I mean, justification, sanctification, everything. And I remember when I was studying that, it brought some things to my eyes that, wow, I never really thought of that. There's a lot to it. But understand, you see, the Lord's blood is precious. Understand, there's no other blood like it, or ever will be. You know, when John saw him as he came to the River Jordan to have John baptize him to fulfill all righteousness, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And I want you to understand, because of the blood of Jesus, you and I can have our sins taken away, washed away, cleansed. I'm thankful for the blood this morning. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Now, look at verse 12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Did you get that? by his own blood. Notice, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, again, in his own blood, he entered into the Holy of Holies, and he shed his blood. And when he died for us, and his blood was shed for the sins of mankind, God accepted it and was satisfied. Read Isaiah 53. It tells us that he was satisfied. Who was he talking about? God the Father. He was satisfied when he saw the travail of his son. Understand, it was a precious blood, a precious purchase, if you will, because we're purchased because of that blood. Listen, I don't understand how God could come here to earth, born of a virgin, live a perfect, pure, sinless life, go to the cross and die and suffer what he suffered. The Bible says over in Isaiah 53 that you couldn't even recognize him. That's how bad he was marred. But I don't understand. I can't conceive in this little old finite mind of mine, and I ain't got much mind, but I still can't understand it all. And what really gets me is he did it because he loved me and you. I don't understand it. How could you love someone so much that you would do that? But he did. How do I know? Because the Word tells me that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He loved us. When we were unlovable, we put him on the cross. We crucified him. Everybody wants to blame the Jew. It was all of us. It was our sin that put him on the cross. But he loved us. And he did it with his own blood. Think about that. It says, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. You know what that is referring to? A once and for all action. He went to the cross once and only, because that's all it took, because he was the perfect sacrifice. He wasn't like bulls and goats. Wasn't nothing like that. He was perfect because he was that perfect lamb. Having obtained, notice, eternal. What does that mean? It means everlasting. Constant, always abiding. That's what everlasting means. And then, of course, it says redemption in that verse. And that word redemption means to be purchased with a ransom price. And the price provides freeness from the bondage of sin and guilt. That's what it means. So what are you saying, Brother John? I'm saying because of Christ's sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, you and I that have trusted him have eternal life. There is nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We have eternal life. You see, the sad thing about before Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world and the sacrificial system, as I said just moments ago, it was a covering. That's all it could do. The sad thing about that was men and women that would go and they would offer sacrifices for them on the Day of Atonement once a year. they would leave the tabernacle or the temple in the same shape they were when they began. It was the same. There was never a change. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed from all sin. And there is a change. Amen. Notice, for if the blood of bulls, verse 13, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. And that word purify means to cleanse, to wash away filth. Again, in the sacrificial order of things in the Old Testament, they would take their sacrifice, the priest would sacrifice it, and you know what would happen? They would leave, and they would still be dirty. Even though they were covered for that time, year after year, they had to continually do the same thing. But when the Savior, the Lamb of God, came and was sacrificed, His blood purified forever, did away with all sin, and removed the guilt and the stain. When we think of the blood, we think, well, how can you? You know, you get blood on your shirt, it's hard to remove that stain. It's not hard for the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you about the blood of Jesus. He can take anyone, doesn't matter how bad and wicked, and He can make them new babes in Christ. Completely washed. Completely forgiven. That's what the blood of Jesus can do. And that blood still saves today. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. If you plan on going to heaven, it's going to be because of the blood of Jesus. It ain't going to be because of anything else. Not because you're good or you're upstanding, you belong to a good church. And let me just say this about churches real quick, and I'll get into the rest of it. Any church out there today, and believe me, there's many churches, many denominations, any church that doesn't preach the cross and the blood of Christ, listen to me, that ain't God's church. If you're a member, you got family in it, you better show them and tell them to get out of there. And anybody that's not willing to share Jesus Christ, any preacher, any church, listen to me, they're not God's preachers. That's not God's church. You don't need to have anything to do with them. You need to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church. The Lord's church always preaches the cross. It always talks about the blood. It always talks about Christ and His sacrifice. And if it doesn't do it, it ain't the Lord's church. Well, I'm looking for a church. If you want to find a church home, you find one that preaches the blood. You find one that uplifts the cross and the Savior that died on that cross. They don't do it, check the dust off your feet and ask God to lead you to one where they will. For the blood of bulls and of goats, the ashes of a heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Say, preacher, what's he talking about? Well, I'll tell you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul kind of clarifies what he's talking about. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll talk about that conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. Verse 12. that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by what? The blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So, what's the answer of a conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What's the Apostle Paul talking about there in Ephesians? He's talking that when we apply the blood of Christ by simple faith and trust Jesus as our Savior, he's saying that the middle wall of partition is broken. We are no longer separated from God. In fact, we are reconciled to God, because at the moment we are saved and our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence in our hearts, that we are a new creation in God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a fresh start. And by the way, that's why we call it the new birth, y'all. You see, after we're saved, he changes our minds, doesn't he, about sin. He changes our attitude about sin. He changes our desire to sin. And then, through the Holy Spirit, he calls us to serve him. And how do we serve him? By keeping his commandments. And by the way, he wants us to be obedient. And I'll throw this in and won't charge you. Listen, we've been bought with a price. Know ye not? You're of the Holy Ghost? What's he talking about? He owns me. He owns you if you've been washed by the blood. And because, that's right, sister, and because he owns us, we need to follow him and obey him. A lot of us like to choke on that, don't we? I don't want no one telling me what to do. Well, really the only one that you need to obey is God. Men, you know, you got bosses, you got folks over you, folks that have authority over you. And because you are a new creation in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Because of that, you should be willing, if you can at all be peaceable amongst men, do it. And obey them. But more so, God your Father. God your Father. So that's what Paul was telling us in Ephesians, talking about that conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Been born again. It's a new birth. Now, notice what he says. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. Let me just stop right there and say this. Because when the Messiah came, when the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world for the purpose of dying on the cross to shed his blood and atone for our sins, when he did that, it was done. The old sacrificial system. It was done. We don't go back to that system. We live in a new dispensation. And that dispensation is grace through faith. But because of his sacrifice, he has declared us righteous. Amen? We're righteous. Now, just because we're saved, that doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean the old devil doesn't like to pound us about our past sins and transgressions. I don't know about you, but he attacks me all the time. You're a preacher? Remember what you used to be? If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I'd still be there. But, you know, growing up, we coon hunted. We had black and tans, walkers, and we would coon hunt. And if you've ever been coon hunting, how many's been coon hunting? Am I the only one? Oh, well, you know, brother. He's from Arkansas. Of course. Jimmy, you've been coon hunting too? Out here? I was going to say, I ain't seen a raccoon at all since I've lived here. Except in a zoo or in a book. A raccoon. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, anyways, we would go coon hunting, and you always coon hunted at night. Yes, ma'am. We were taught we did not waste food. If you killed something, you ate it. We just didn't kill it for the sake of killing it. Huh? Stop. Listen to City Boy. The point I'm trying to get across to, I want y'all to get this. This is a unique synonym. Anyways, we'd go coon hunting at night. And we'd let the dogs out. And, of course, we would sit at the truck and we'd drink coffee. And, you know, my grandpa and my dad tell stories and this and that. And then you'd hear them old dogs finally baying. And then, oh, they got one tree. Well, you better get to that coon. You better shoot that coon because what's going to happen is one of two things. That coon's going to leave that tree and he's going to head for water. And once he gets to the water, if the dogs are far back, what he'll do is he'll stay in the water and he'll go down the creek or the stream and then he'll jump to the other side. And what that does is it just stops the trail. But now if the dogs are close and he makes it to the water, he'll stand there and dare the dogs to come on in. Because, hey, believe it or not, a coon can drown a dog. But my point is this. Just like that coon hits that water and goes down the stream and then comes out on the other side, sometimes, oh, Satan hounds us like them old dogs baying. You sinner. How can you claim to be that when you were this? But listen to me, just as a coon will head to the stream, child of God, the blood of Jesus is the stream that we go to. And that blood takes the devil off our trail. Now, we might be attacked, and he might bring up lots of things of the past. But listen to me, I'll tell you what the devil can't do if you're a born-again child of God and you've had your sins washed away by the blood. Never chase you past that. Amen? That's a fact. I'm thankful for eternal redemption. Notice what it says in verse 15. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, those transgressions are what we just talked about, that they which are called, might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. Again, it's the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, because of the blood of Jesus, because I have been washed, my transgressions have been removed, and I am reconciled to God, I am justified before Him, I am promised that I have an inheritance because I am a joint heir with Christ. All that God has for His Son Jesus, I get part of that. Because we're all joint heirs. You see, when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, We were there and we died also. But when he came out of the tomb through the resurrection, we have been given guarantees that we will be resurrected too. And we have heaven waiting for us. Beloved, that art to light you shouts. Amen. If your engine ain't running, you better check the oil. Right? I'm here to tell you, he's promised us. And this promise is only through the blood. So no, I'm not ashamed of the blood. I'm thankful for the blood. In fact, it's only through the blood, y'all. Only through the blood. Oh, that old bloody gospel. Yes, it is. It's a bloody gospel. It's a bloody faith. But thank God for it. Again, without it, no forgiveness of sin. None whatsoever. And I'm thankful. Not only do I have a home waiting for me, and if you're washed, you have a home waiting, but I'm thankful because of the blood, the freedoms that we have. To know every sin has been forgiven. As far as the east is, the west, his sins he'll remember, our sins he'll remember no more. Think about that for a second. Every wicked sin we ever committed, when the blood is applied, it's removed. No stains are left. We're cleansed. What does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some. Cleanse means to remove every spot. That's why I'm thankful for the blood this morning. Now, the old writer said, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Only you can answer if your sins have been washed. And only you can decide that. So my question in close is, one, are you saved? Has the blood of Jesus washed away your sins? Can you remember a time that your sins were forgiven? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? See, only you can answer that. I'm here to tell you that if you will allow the blood to cleanse you, you don't have to worry about death because you're going to heaven. But as I said just moments ago, you're not going to get there based on who you are, your works, and good deeds. You're only going to get there through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So, have you been washed? Do you remember a time? And by the way, if you've ever been to Jesus, you'll know it. You won't have to wonder. It always bothers me sometimes. Well, I don't know if I'm saved. Listen, if you've truly been saved, you'll know it. The Holy Spirit will let you know. I know we get older, and like I say, my memory isn't near what it used to be when I was 20 and spry. But I'm here to tell you, I still remember the day I called on the Lord. Amen. Now, as I get older, I might forget the date. Now, I still know the date now. But as I get older, I might forget the date, but I'm still going to remember about Jesus and his blood and when he saved me in my heart. I'm going to know it. So if you've got questions, I urge you to come. Get washed. Get ready because he's coming. Our redemption draweth nigh. Would you stand with me, please?